Welcome to Built Brave. Driven women sharing their stories to show others what is possible for them. Because we were all born brave. I'm your host, Lo Wentworth, and this is Built Brave. Are you ready? Hello, everyone. Welcome back. So I have a question for you. Would you take your makeup off and go to work? Would you go to a networking event and take off all your makeup? Would you go a full week without wearing makeup? Let alone a day? Let alone 4 hours with a bunch of other women who are doing the same thing? Can you go out in public without wearing makeup? And if your first thought was, F no, I have a question for you. Why is that? Why do you think you need makeup? Like, what does it give you? Does it give you self-confidence? Does it make you feel pretty or beautiful or hot, attractive? Hiding your blemishes, sunspots, freckles, having darker lashes, I don't know, highlighting your eyes. But what if I said you didn't really need all of that? Because you don't. But I understand why you feel the need to put your mask on, just like the founder of Naked Networking does, Michelle B. She created this networking event for women to get together, take off their makeup, who were all feeling vulnerable, and just network with each other. Talk about our experiences. Get to know each other besides what we do for a living and the traditional boring conversation starters. And I've had several great relationships come out of these events as well. Along with Shelby, I've gotten to know her quite well through it, and I wouldn't have if I didn't go to one of her Naked networking events. And I have to confess, so I am challenged a little bit to giving sympathy to women my age or a little younger about the need for makeup. I can understand why, but at the same time, I'm just like, you're also beautiful without it. And I believe you're beautiful without it because when I was 13-ish, confirmation age, just discovering makeup and had horrendous acne and was trying to use makeup to hide that so I'd feel beautiful and pretty and this perfect little thing, which I know I'm far from. But our confirmation leader told us 10-ish girls to go a full day without makeup to school in middle school. The most insecure time of your life. You're really awkward, have blemishes, different things. Your body's going through stuff, but it's not fun. But we did it. And that's when I learned the valuable lesson that I don't need makeup. Maybe it's going to a naked networking event and learning that for yourself. I mean, the idea is the same. We don't need to wear these masks. And if you feel the need to wear the mask, why are you hiding the real you? And I'll leave you with that question as we head into the episode today. Okay, guys, before we get into this, Shelby is holding a summit on April 26th of this year, and it's free to be summit. It's an all-day celebration and deep dive of what makes you, you, the you that you know is strong, capable, and beautiful. So if you are feeling like you want to be a little bolder, a little braver, a little bit more confident, or if you've ever wondered what your life could look like if you could be the version of you that is unstoppable, the one who isn't bothered by the others what others think of her, and the one who speaks her mind and lives unapologetically. And I suggest you go and run and get your tickets today. There's a link in my bio. There's a link in the show notes. But go get those tickets to the Free to Be Summit. There is something magical when women get together, networking, hanging out, whatever it may be, and they don't have makeup on, especially if it's a lot of them from the first time they've ever done that. It puts us all in a vulnerable space, and vulnerability is what creates amazing relationships. So go get your tickets, and I hope to see you there. Hi, everyone, and welcome back to the podcast. I'm so excited for today's guest. We have been having a fun time recording this today. We gotta love technology, like praying to the technology gods. So I have Shelby here, and I was just saying before everything decided to die that I was jealous you created the Naked Networking event and the whole premise behind that, because I'm like, why didn't I think of that? And then it was just being like, okay, universe, it wasn't meant for me, which we will get into. So with that, Shelby, can you just briefly introduce yourself so the audience has an idea of who you are and what you do?
Yeah, absolutely. Let me first say thank you so much for, one, creating this podcast. I think it's amazing, the premise of it, and I'm really excited to dive deep with you today. So thank you so much for having me on as a guest. To introduce myself, my name is Shelby Wildgust. I am a Philly native. I live in Northern Liberties in Philadelphia. I just got married in September, so that's been a really great update in my life. And from a professional standpoint, I do two very big things in my life. The first one is, like you mentioned, Lo, I founded a company called Naked Networking Events, and it is honestly one of the biggest joys of my life and something that I'm very proud of and I'm very excited for. And the growth that we're experiencing and the vision that I have is something that is near and dear to my heart. And I'm really excited to dive into that with you today. And then second to that, but equally as big, I do have a corporate job, so I'm not full on entrepreneur, which I think will be a cool thing to talk about today too, just how to juggle having a side hustle, but also having a corporate position. So corporately speaking, I work for a company called Vector Marketing, which is the direct sales arm for Cutco Cutlery. And I work in their training and leadership department. So I coach, train, mentor our most junior managers. So we have this program within our company where college students for summertime can actually run their own business and basically run a sales office from ground up. And I did that when I was in college, and now I coach, train, and mentor those same students throughout the experience.
Awesome. So why don't we dive into that, balancing the corporate life with the side hustle, and you know, how did you fall into that?
Yeah, so that's a great question. For me, I operate best when I have a couple different plates spinning. I started to test the boundaries of how many plates I can actually have spinning. And I've learned that there are times where I need to scale back and say no to things. But I'm the kind of person that if I'm just doing one thing, I find that I fall into this laziness version of myself where it's like, okay, I got this one thing done. Now my couch is calling my name. So for me, I think the first thing to recognize is the fact that I operate best when I do have multiple things going on and multiple plates that I'm spinning. Regarding the balance, I think it's a lot having to do with mindset, but I also think it's a lot having to do with skill set and being incredibly organized and planning and following a to-do list and putting the time in your calendar to work on both aspects. I must admit, I have a really unique situation where in my corporate position, there's a lot of overlap in terms of what I do corporately speaking and what Naked Networking is. So I work with men and women in my corporate position, but I'm constantly talking about leadership and authenticity and vulnerability. And so what's great is that a lot of the growth that I experience in my corporate position creates growth in my business of making networking. And I also have a really great setup with my boss where, you know, although my job could be considered like a 9-to-5 job, he's very respectful of, you know, the event days and allows me to work from wherever I need to on those days. That way I can be there and be present when it's time to start setting up. And, you know, I have somewhat of a flexible schedule where I'm able to build both my career and my business. So that for me is kind of the baseline of how I achieve balance in my life. I realize it's unique to me, but I definitely have some tips and tricks that I've used that I know would be applicable to somebody who maybe has more of a rigid structure from a corporate standpoint, but then also has this passion for, you know, an entrepreneurial endeavor from a side hustle standpoint.
So what are some of those tips and tricks that you could give the audience, like two of them?
Yeah, so let's start with the organizational aspect and like the skill set aspect. So it's really important to have an organization or an organizational way of doing things. So everyone operates differently, whether they like the Google Calendar or they like paper calendars, or they like to-do lists or they like time blocks. Like, find what works for you and explore all. I would say explore it all and see what fits best for you. What I have found is that I operate off of my Google Calendar and I time block everything, but then I also operate off of a to-do list. So I will put in time blocks over the course of 2-week schedule. So I'll look at what needs to get done, both in my corporate position and my business, and I'll look at my calendar and I'll time block. So I'll do like make a networking creative time from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. on, let's say, a Thursday. And then right after that is vector marketing creative time, 11 to 2. And then there's, you know, a meeting from 2 to 2:30. And then there's a group discussion from 2:30 to 3, you know, and I time block everything. And then on a daily basis, I'll look at my calendar and then I'll create a to-do list based on what is immediately important. And I leave room in my calendar for some flexibility. So when I look at my to-do list, I think, okay, what time do I, or how much time do I need to actually accomplish these things on my to-do list? And does that reflect well in my calendar? And the one thing that I think about with my to-do list is that, and this is a really, really great quote that I heard from a Harvard Business Review IdeaCast, which is their podcast. And I forget who the quote is by, but basically they were talking about how a to-do list is like a desired result. When you're writing down a to-do list, it's what you want to get accomplished for the day. So that's actually an end result and it's the output. The input is time. And so when you create this to-do list, it's really important to cross-reference your calendar and make sure that you're even allowing yourself the opportunity to accomplish the to-do list. Because I believe that there's like this internal satisfaction from crossing off your to-do list. But if you're not actually setting yourself up for success by cross-referencing your calendar and saying, okay, do I have the right time blocks put in here? Then you're going to set yourself up for failure because you're not going to be able to even find the time to cross everything off of your to-do list. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. That totally makes sense. So it's very much like, again, I agree, there's the satisfaction of like you're crossing off the list and the to-do list. And I've heard many times, like, and it's been associated with women, is like you create this list and sometimes you'll put stuff on there that you've already done. So like it's 10 o'clock and you finally get to be able to look at the day, but you start like writing stuff that you did before 10 o'clock just to have that satisfactory of like, okay, I completed this, but you actually didn't complete the things that move the needle forward in whatever you're doing, right, whether it's career or business.
Right. Which is why I mentioned cross-referencing your calendar, because so for me, like I move things around a lot in my calendar and like, newsflash everybody, I had to unfortunately reschedule this initial interview with Lo because I had to move things around in my calendar. Like I had to put myself first in some situations this past week with some just difficult things that were happening. But with that, it's like I do it on a 2-week basis where I do the time blocks. And then I realize that things pop up left and right, which is why the to-do list is on like a daily basis. And so it's important that, you know, as a human, you leave that room for flexibility during your day, but you really make sure that, like, when you are putting things in your calendar or when you are looking at your to-do list, you're prioritizing it as well and recognizing that while something might be really fun to do today, is that what needs to be done today, or is that just a fun thing to do today? And sometimes it's important to have the fun things to do during a day, but you have to look at your deadlines and you have to look at, like, what's coming up in your calendar, what events are non-negotiables that you need to prepare for, all of those kinds of things.
Mm-hmm. And I totally agree with that as well. So backing up a little bit, how, like, someone who's just starting to take control of their calendar and they hear time blocking all the time, what is something you would suggest to them to start doing? Because it can be overwhelming when you look at the calendar and you're just starting out as well, and learning a new way to organize yourself.
So I think it's important to shift your mindset away from the idea that it's overwhelming and instead shift it into this idea that's actually freeing. And what I mean by that is I feel more, and I've trained myself to think this way, I feel more overwhelmed when I look at my calendar and there's nothing in there, because what it means is that I have to make these split decisions right on the turn of a dime as to what I'm going to do in that moment, as opposed to looking at my calendar and saying, okay, cool, I know today I've got these three meetings, I've got this 2-hour block for creative time, and I have this networking event. All right, I can do this today. And so I think the time blocking is actually a tool that allows more freedom in your life, because when you wake up in the morning, as opposed to having to make all these decisions, which women in general, the minute that we wake up, our brain is making so many decisions and it can lead to cognitive overload, which can create a lot of stress and anxiety in our life. And so if we can eliminate having to make all these decisions by creating the schedule for ourselves over a 2-week time period, and again, there's always room for flexibility, there's always room for moving some things around, but to have a baseline of, okay, here's what needs to get done today, or here's the time I'm giving myself to do these things, I think that's really valuable. So the first piece of advice that I would give is to try to shift your mindset away from the overwhelm and into the fact that having a rigid schedule or a time block schedule is actually very freeing. The second thing I would say is that it, like anything, it's a growth process. So your first time doing it, you might be like, you know what? I really don't need 3 hours of meeting prep. I could probably only use 1 hour. Okay, great. So next week when you're doing your time block, remember that and take that into effect. I also think that it's important to put creative time in your schedule. I think this is one of those underrated things that we oftentimes forget. And for our type A women out there listening, I think creative time is like one of those taboos of like, well, that's not actually getting anything done, but in reality it's actually getting a lot done, because you're giving yourself the time to go deep and to allow yourself some space to breathe and ideas to breathe. And I always try to do 2 hours of creative time maybe 3 times a week, and the reason why I choose 2 hours, and I don't know all of the science behind this, but what I do know is that 2-hour space allows for deep work. And what deep work is, it's when you're really getting into the flow and you're allowing your creative energy to come full force. So I know I jumped around a little bit, but those would be just some of my initial tips, is be flexible, like realize that this is a process and that things are going to shift and change over time. And again, that's why I started out when I talked about organizational methods, like everybody has different methods. Some people like bullet journaling, some people like Google Calendar, some people like Trello and Monday.com and all those other like planning apps. Like everyone's different. Find what works for you and realize that, like, if you try one thing and it's not your thing, that's okay. You can shift. It's the same thing with like when you do start to time block and knowing that, you know, you're just testing it out from the start and that you can always make these changes as you go forward.
Mm-hmm. You've said a lot of important distinctions, but I want to go back to talking about like the creative time, because we don't actually give ourselves that creative time to just be and flow and let whatever comes to, like, if you do pen and paper and journaling,
and stuff like that. So how did you discover or decide to switch your mindset around it? Because you've been talking a lot about like switching your mindset around having creative time and, honoring that instead of like pushing it off.
I had to get permission from people to do that. Not physical permission, but people saying, "Hey, it's okay to have this quote unquote blank space in your calendar." Now, for me, like as I just mentioned, I don't have blank space, but I'll have like a big block that says creative time, and then usually it has dash either naked networking or vector marketing, because those are my two big buckets of my life. And it first came from my boss. Again, like my boss is literally the best human being outside of my husband that I've ever, like, he's just incredible. And he had said to me, "Shelby, the role that you're in requires that you are really introspective." I mean, for me, I'm a corporate coach, so like I need to take time to digest and to think about the conversations that I've had and to actually allow myself to generate teaching topics based on things that I hear in the field. If I didn't put the creative time in my schedule, that would never happen. So initially, it came from my boss, that permission, and it was a necessity as well. Then I'm a big proponent of coaching, obviously being in my position, but I also have my own coach. And she mentioned, the power of deep work and the power of giving yourself the space to actually think. And something that I've started to implement, and this is a great way to actually start getting into this deep work process and habit, is to use prompts. And so journaling prompts would be a great example of this. And this is something that my coach usually gives me at the end of every session, is a couple of journaling prompts. So for example, one recently that she gave me was to imagine it's 2030, and there were like four questions that I was asking myself. And my assignment essentially was to journal as if it was 2030, so in present tense, and answering all these questions and these prompts. And what I have decided to do with that is I actually set a timer for myself, where I set a timer for 30 or 45 minutes. So I've gotten up to the point where, like, I'm comfortable with that time. I would say start with 5 to 10 minutes, and it's like meditation, like just kind of grow gradually. But I challenge myself not to lift my pen off of paper until that time is up. And even if I hit a mental block where I don't know where I'm going, or I've got nothing else to say, I will literally write, "I'm hitting a mental block. I'm not sure what else to say." But again, that challenge forces me to keep digging and keep going through these layers where eventually something else will pop up. And that has been my method of deep work. And with that prompt that I just mentioned about 2030, it was amazing what emerged from that, because I gave myself that like actual time. And the timer thing is really helpful because there's a start and a stop to it. And that there's a challenge to it where it's like, I'm going to keep my pen moving. And so it's just like showing up to the gym or going to a workout class. Like, you might not want to do it at first, but that there's a start and a stop, and there's somebody who's kind of guiding you. That prompt is your guide. And by the end of it, you're so happy you did it. But I think it's really important to start with that timer aspect, because it just is really helpful from a process standpoint.
And I've recently started doing 3 pages. So the artist way has like one day like popped up 3 separate times. I'm like, okay, universe, I'll get the book. I'll do it. And one of the things I suggest is like the 3 pages. So you have the morning journal, and it's just 3 pages, stream of consciousness and whatever comes up, but you don't lift your pen until you finish those 3 pages. It might take more than 3 pages, but it's the same concept. So if someone's just like 20 minutes, oh God, but three pages. Oh, I can do 3 pages type of thing.
And so it's, again, like going back to what I said before, it's whatever works best for you. But I think giving yourself structure to it, so whether it's 3 pages or 10 minutes or, answering these 5 questions, like, it doesn't matter. As long as you're giving yourself some guidance and structure, I think that's really where the magic begins to happen.
Mm-hmm. And I 100% agree. Like, I know structure has been so supportive in my life. I've had to flip my mindset around it to be from like, oh, I have to do this, to being like, actually, it's kind of nice I have this scheduled. So then it gives me an idea of what I can do around it, more freedom to do.
Yeah.
Like, maybe it's take a downtime and just be and watch crap TV, and then know that I'll be able to show up fuller versus being like, oh, I don't know what I'm doing, and I am tired of having like all of these time, different time blocks going on.
Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah. How did, like, what got you to the point of where you started your own personal development story?
What do you mean by that?
So like, what brought you, so how did you dive into it? So I know we've had some conversations about you and your personal development. I mean, you're doing a lot of introspection and further ahead on that. And some people may have be just started, but what was the point that got you there? I know for me, it was not passing the bar, going through a breakup and graduating law school.
Okay. Yeah. So I honestly think that I'm really blessed in this, with my answer to this question, because when I was 18 years old, I found Cutco / Vector Marketing. So the company that I work for now today, but I've had kind of some shifts and some breaks in that particular journey. But when I was 18 years old, I got this phone call from a manager at, I always say Cutco / Vector Marketing, because Cutco is the well-known brand that Vector Marketing represents. So Vector Marketing is the marketing arm for Cutco. So in this conversation, just for all the listeners, I use Cutco and Vector simultaneously. So anyways, I get this call when I was 18 years old from a Vector manager, basically saying that one of my friends had recommended me for the job. And at the time, I was a waitress, and you know, I was a senior in high school, and I've always been the kind of person that's been money motivated, and I've always had jobs, like, ever since I was 14 years old. And for me, it was not out of necessity, so to say. It was just because I wanted to work. Like, I found it to be fun and interesting, and it was a great way to meet people and build a work ethic. And that was something that my parents definitely instilled in me. And so I go in for this interview. I find out that the job is selling knives. And I knew that I could sell anything. I mean, realistically, I was like, I can sell ice to an Eskimo if I needed to. And that confidence came from just my entrepreneurial spirit. And so I said, yeah, let's do it. And it was the most life-changing experience I've ever, ever had. The job is not for everybody. I will 100% admit that. But for me, it challenged me, transformed me, gave me some of the best experiences of my life. And so that company is really, really big on personal development. So at 18 years old, going through this first experience of like actually working for my money, because it was a pretty much only commission job. I mean, there were some like base level payment structures, but I was at the point where I was just earning commission, because I was earning a lot more in commission than I would have been with the base. And it was all about your mindset, and it was all about, you know, understanding that a no is, you know, not the worst thing in the world. It's just, they're not saying no to me. They're saying no to the product, and learning how to manage my time and learning how to set goals and go after goals and be resilient and to be ambitious and to step up and be a leader. And by the time my first 3 months was over in the job, you know, I did it during my summer break, I was in a position where I was giving messages to 200 people in a room about things that I had learned that summer. And so all of a sudden I was developing my public speaking skills and my communication skills. And I was having these one-on-one coaching sessions with younger reps. And it was just this hyper growth period of time right before I went off to college. So that was a really, really pivotal experience in my life. And then I continued to work with them during my winter breaks. And then there's an amazing opportunity, which now I work with these people who are going through this opportunity, where after a summer of selling the knives, if you've proven that you're successful with it and that you've got a good head on your shoulders and that, you know, you have some of the traits that are common in leaders, you are given this opportunity to run a Cutco office on your own. And so I was given a territory in Long Island. The company gave me $6,000 in startup fund. And I went out and I rented an office space and I hired a sales team, many of which were older than me. I was 19 at the time. And I ran a business that over the course of 3 months generated $85,000 in revenue. And at 19 years old, it was like baptism by fire, where all of a sudden I had to learn how to have tough conversations. I had to learn how to fire people. I had to learn how to motivate people and inspire people. I had to learn how to put together agendas for team meetings. I had to learn all of these things, which now show up in my life in so many ways. But that has been like my personal development story. So then I did it again a second summer, and this summer, as a manager, our office generated $154,000 of revenue in 3 months. So we nearly doubled. And again, I was just learning how to really focus on people and their goals, because if I just focus on my goals, then it wouldn't work. Like, it just doesn't, the organization doesn't work that way. And so that was really my starting point for personal development, and then carrying that with me throughout the rest of my college and then going into my first job. And I lost myself a little bit during that time of really not knowing what I wanted to do and where I wanted to be and where I wanted to live and all of these different things. But personal development's always been a really great backbone that I've developed over time. And now I'm in a really, really fortunate position where I get to build on it every single day. And yeah, that's my story.
Which is a great one, because also, like, the listeners and the whole point of this podcast is show different ways how women have been trailblazing their own way. Some people, it starts that early and they don't have the come to Jesus on the floor moment, and other people, they do. And it's to show right. that neither path is the right way or the wrong way. It's just your own path.
For sure. For sure. That's a really, really good point to make, is that there is no right or wrong way to grow yourself. The goal is to grow yourself. As long as you're growing in a positive direction and you're bettering your life, it doesn't matter if it's happening at 18 or if it's happening at 28.
Mm-hmm. So switching gears a little bit, how did Naked Networking come
to be?
Mm-hmm. Come to be.
Yeah. So it feels like it's an overnight success, but I know it's not, because of the work that I put in, like, in the background that even allowed this idea to tap me on the shoulder and say, bring me to life. And it's so interesting how you started out the podcast saying that you're like, oh, like, why didn't I think of that? And then, you know, realizing that that was not your idea to bring to life. That's such an interesting concept. Did you learn that from Big Magic?
Actually, I don't know, but that book has been coming up. I think it's just something I'm thinking back now. I'm like, yeah, that's where I first remember hearing it. Like, it wasn't like meant for me, because there was a book idea she had, and then she sat on it, right? And then another friend of hers wrote that same concept and all of that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. So I read that book too. I only read the first couple chapters, but like, that was a big gist of it. And I was like, oh, I get that. And so when Naked Networking tapped me on the shoulder, I was like, okay, I am the vessel for this. Like, this makes so much sense, because it falls in line with all the work that I've done over the last 8 years to build myself into who I am today. So where the idea of like this mask removal really began for me was in 2016. I was given a really cool opportunity to give a TEDx talk at an event called TEDx Dover. So it's essentially a TED talk. And my topic was on the masks we hide behind. And there's a really interesting story about that, actually, which I'll share. I'll take 2 minutes to share it. So basically, when I was given this opportunity to get the TED Talk, I kind of thought, oh my God, I need to knock this out of the park. This was like my big chance. Like, I imagined myself being the next Brene Brown. I was like, oh my God, this is a huge opportunity. And so I procrastinated the shit out of it. I don't know why, but I just like, I talked about it, I thought about it, but I never actually took action on building this message. So the talk itself, the TED talk, was like in the middle of June, and it here is the beginning of June, and I've got like barely anything on paper, and I'm like, shit, I need to get this down. So I go to Barnes and Noble and I buy all of these books, and my initial thought on my topic was about, you know, trading expectations for reality and appreciating reality and not getting obsessed with these expectations. So I thought like I could get some scientific research on that. I thought I could have some groundbreaking information. Like, I just thought that like I could come off as really smart if I were to do that and like find all of this research. So I wrote out this talk and I sat my boyfriend at the time, who's not my husband, I sat him down and I was like, okay, listen to me and give me your feedback on the talk. So I start sharing and I'm about a page in and he stops me and he goes, babe, I know that you want me to tell you this talk is amazing, but it's not you. You're trying to be someone that you're not. And you're trying to present yourself in a way that's not you. It's not your experience. It's not your background. And we're like a week out from the TED talk. And I'm like, oh man, what do I do now? And so I actually hired a coach to help me kind of talk through all of this. Paid her about like $150 an hour. And we just talked through like, what could my topic be? And I shared with her what had just happened. And she's like, Shelby, I think that's part of your topic of like trying to be someone that you're not. And you know, the stories that you've gone through of like learning who you are and learning to remove your mask. And so it was so interesting how the topic of the mask came to be for me, but that was where that seed was planted. And so in 2019, I made a goal for myself where I really wanted to get out and about in the Philadelphia area. I had moved back to Philly at the end of 2017. So 2018 was just a big year of adjustment. I had started my new job. I was just really kind of growing some roots down. But then by 2019, I was like ready to start kind of budding and like flourishing. And so I started to look up all these different women's events in Philadelphia. And I found one that I'm still involved in today. I love the group. I think we met there at the She Shine Spring Social.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yep. And so I went to that and I was like, oh, this is really great. This is a really great group for women. And being an entrepreneur or having the entrepreneurial spirit that I do, I came home from that event and I was like, I can create something like this. Like, I can create a group like this. But then I was like, I don't want to do the exact same thing as them. Like, they've got their own thing going. Like, they're great. I don't want to rip off of their idea. But I do want to create a space for women because I think, you know, there's always room for more and there's always room for different ideas. And so I started thinking about creating some kind of like networking event. And for me, like, I've gone to so many networking events that have been stuffy mm-hmm. and snobby, and like you actually have to wear the mask when you're going to these events, and you have to have your elevator pitch prepared, and you have to have your best suit on. It can be intimidating. And like for me, when I go to these networking events, the first place I go to is the bar to have some liquid courage. So I'm like, ugh, I don't feel like talking to this man for like 30 minutes about his business. Like, it just doesn't feel good for me. And I wanted to create a space for women where it felt really good and genuine connections came from it. So I remember this so vividly. It was a Tuesday afternoon. I was working from home that day and I was just kind of letting my mind wander. I think I was like in this creative space feel or like this creative space time block before I'd actually realized that I was doing it. But I was just like letting myself think, and I was like, okay, a networking event. And then I just like kept thinking like networking, like naked networking. And I was a marketing major, so like I understand the power of having a really good title that's intriguing to people.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, naked networking, like that sounds fascinating. Like, what is that? And then I thought, okay, well, how can I make it like actually something cool? Like, I can't just call it naked networking and then just not have anything about like naked, quote unquote. So I was like, okay, remove the mask. Like, oh, like, wait a second, remove the mask. Like, what's a physical mask that women have? Makeup. Like, that's an easy mask to talk about. And so that's kind of how the evolution of like the first idea of Naked Networking came to be, was this idea of like no makeup, no judgment, women only, let's talk about removing the mask. And I knew that it had legs, but I also knew that I couldn't do it alone. Mm-hmm. Because one, I didn't have that big of a network in Philly yet. Two, I didn't have any funds to do it. And three, I also just didn't want to do it alone. And one of my mantras for 2019 was collaboration over competition. So I thought to myself, okay, who do I know that might want to do this with me or might want to partner up with me on this? And I thought one of the best places to start would be like a clothing boutique, because they have a lot of women that come in. And I have seen in Philadelphia that there are some clothing boutiques that do events for women. So I thought, oh, this is perfect. So it was a Thursday, like 2 days after, and I was working from home. And I thought, okay, I'm going to go out and I'm going to visit some of these clothing boutiques. And I went to the first one and I presented the idea and they shut me down so hard. And they were like, I wouldn't even go to that event. Like, no way. I was like, okay, cool. Like that's unfortunate, but mm-hmm. there's more out there. So I went to the second clothing boutique. And this one was in Old City, and I knew that they had done women's events. So I had kind of centered my day around going there, but I thought I would give another boutique the first opportunity first for some reason. So I walk in, and at first I was like really nervous because of what just happened to me in the previous boutique, and I almost didn't say anything. But then I was like, no, you got to say something, because if you don't ask, the answer will always be no. And so I went up to the front and I basically presented the idea, and the girl Casey, who's one of the three women that run Snack Parlor, or that are really heavily involved in Snack Parlor, and Casey, who you had on the podcast, mm-hmm. is one of them. And Casey happened to be there, and I presented the idea and she loved it. She was like, oh my God, this is amazing. Like, yes, like let's talk more about this. Like, my other two like coworkers are out for lunch right now. Like, can you send me an email and then we can set something up to get the ball moving on this? And I was like, yeah, that sounds great. So I sent the email, and then we set a meeting for like a week later, and I go to meet with the three women, Rhiannon, Sierra, and Casey. And they were like, so we don't have a June event in the calendar. Like, let's do it in June. And here we are at the very end of April. And I'm like, June, like that's a month and a half away. Like, in my mind, I was thinking that I planned something for like September. Thank God they said June, because it really got the ball rolling. And so we scheduled a time in the calendar for June 11th, and we worked together to basically like figure out all the logistics of the event and ticket prices for the event, all that kind of stuff. And we had space for 30 women, and we sold out. And it was really, really cool and special. And it was great to see that the idea was being validated by people other than myself in my own mind. And through that event, I met Sydney Grams. And Sydney is, she's the business development manager. I think that's her title, but she basically runs shit at all of the White Dog Cafes, Autograph, Louie, Mooshaloo. Basically, her family owns the Fearless Restaurant Group, which is all of those restaurants. And she is like poised to take over that company. She's amazing. And she was one of our panelists, and she loved the idea so much. She was like, let's have another event at the Mooshaloo, which for my Philly girls out there, you know, the Mooshaloo is a big, beautiful four-mast sailboat that sits on the Delaware River. It's stationary, but it's like this majestic place. And I was like, yeah, that sounds amazing. That also sounds really scary. And when I say scary, I mean like it was just intimidating mm-hmm. to take this little idea that had just come into fruition. It was awesome. Like the event was great. But I was going from 30 women in a boutique to now having space to sell 70 tickets on this big, beautiful ship where people have weddings and like corporate events that cost probably tens of thousands of dollars. And because of the price of like having the event on the ship, I had to raise the ticket prices by $5. So there was a lot of, am I good enough? Is this good enough for the ticket price self-talk that I was going through. And I had double the amount of tickets to now sell, which was a great problem. But like, I didn't want to just sell 30 tickets because the space was so big that like having 30 women there would have been awkward. So I had this pressure on me to sell all these tickets now at a higher ticket price for an event that was just making it onto the scene. And we sold out again. And this time, the Philly Mag did a story on us and CBS3 did a story on us. And women from different cities started to reach out to me on Instagram. And they were like, when is Naked Networking coming to Tampa or Charlotte or Boston or Chicago? And I was like, I don't know. That's a really great question. I think I should start thinking about that. And it was so cool to kind of be carried by this momentum and carried by this excitement over the idea. And let me just pause really fast and kind of explain the idea behind Naked Networking, because it's important to distinguish that it's not an anti-makeup event. Mm-hmm. I love makeup and I love putting makeup on and it's fun for me. But there is a time and place where I think there's a discussion that needs to be had for women about being authentic and being comfortable in who you are and exploring that and like knowing that what is burning deep down inside of you is meant to be seen by other people. And it's not, there should be no fear about being that person. And I know for me, like I had over the course of my life feared being my full self because I was afraid of judgment and I was afraid of people not liking who I knew I could be. And so I hid myself and I hid behind this mask. And the mask for me was all different variations of myself, like the popular girl, the sorority girl, the girl who was like a BC student. Like I hid behind all these different masks. And so Naked Networking, the no makeup part is just like the pomp and circumstance to the actual real work that we do, which is to help women feel comfortable and be in a safe place where they can let that fire inside of them come through. And so with the whole makeup removal aspect, it is this activity that every woman goes through in the very beginning that is designed to create this artificial vulnerability. Like I realize that for some women, taking off their makeup is a little bit scary. So the makeup removal aspect, like it does create this artificial vulnerability, but the hope is that through the artificial vulnerability comes actual vulnerability and comes actual connection. And so right after women take off their makeup, they then go through this little process, which we're continuing to evolve and to figure out like, what could it really look like? Where they write a love letter to themselves and to the women that are coming behind them. And so within the first 5 minutes of entering, the attendee herself removes her makeup, has this artificial vulnerability experience, and then expresses self-love. And it's like this double whammy of like, all right, I can do this. Like, I love myself. I feel beautiful. I can do this. And every other woman is going through that. So creating that kind of experience, I think it makes the event more memorable, but it also bonds women that are there because they're all kind of there with this fresh face and a little bit of nerves. And so that is like the premise of Naked Networking. And so people have really attached themselves to this idea. And so the second event went off extremely well. And then the third event, well, I wanted to have a third event before 2019 was over. I was like riding high on this wave of momentum. And so this third event, whereas the first two events, I kind of did in collaboration with Smack Parlor and Fearless Women's Network, which is Sydney's women's group. This third event, I was like, okay, I can do this on my own. And I'm really glad I did that. But I also don't want to always do that. I'm glad I did it because it taught me how to run an event from start to finish, which Naked Networking is an events business. So it's important that I understand the ins and outs of that. So it was a really, really great learning experience and like learning how to negotiate contracts and learning how to really gain a lot of sponsors and vendors so like keep the ticket cost low and how to, you know, get like certain event insurance and like all those kinds of things. So the third event was in October and this one, I wanted to sell 100 tickets, but we ended up selling about 70, which was great. Like I was still very excited about it, but it was definitely our biggest event. And when I say biggest, like there's probably the most amount of people there when you count in like the vendors and the volunteers with the free tickets that we also gave out for like certain things. But I say biggest because I think it was the most impactful. I had learned over the course of doing these first two events, like what works and what doesn't work. And we have panel discussions, but I don't think 40 minutes of just watching panel discussions is really all that great. It's great for the panelists, and I love giving people a platform to share stories, but I don't want the audience members to just connect with the panelists. I want them to connect with one another. And so for this third event, it was, we still had a panel, but we also had an experience in the very beginning that I facilitated where it was all about communication with others. And there was like a series of questions that I ran people through, and we had this whole like partner interview. And what was really cool about this experience was, I'm trying to break it down so everyone can understand like the science behind it. So the goal of Naked Networking, one of the goals of Naked Networking is to create psychological safety. And psychological safety is, one, the feeling of being heard, and two, the feeling of being able to say whatever's on your mind without fear of judgment. So if I can create an environment where everybody feels psychologically safe, then that's where real magic happens. And so what I did was I learned this through a method called appreciative inquiry. So I would look that up because it's amazing, amazing facilitation method. So basically, I first facilitated a journaling exercise where the question was about like, why is it important that you're here? And why is it important that we as women remove our masks? So I helped every woman connect to the purpose of Naked Networking beyond just the makeup removal stuff, like the real purpose of Naked Networking. And the journaling exercise allowed for the introverts in the crowd to get their thoughts on paper and to kind of break down their barriers, because as an introvert, I think a lot of women get afraid to go deep, but to give them the space to just do it on their own accord in their own mind is helpful. It also allows the extroverts to cool their jets a bit and just kind of like reflect, which extroverts don't do often, and I know because I am one. So the first activity is just like a warm-up activity. And then what we did was I had every woman partner up and share parts of what they reflected on. And so that way we did facilitate like a one-on-one connection. And then I asked for some takeaways from the crowd. So it went from individual to one-on-one to group share. And that helped women feel comfortable raising their hand, that whole process. And then the second part of that was we had this partner interview where there were a few different questions, and you were part of this, so you remember, and you partnered up with a new woman. I think I had everyone do a new woman, but maybe they did the same person. Anyways, they partnered up again, and for 5 minutes each, they were instructed to interview their partner. And when I say interview, this is sometimes I have to really explain it, because for women, it's like we just converse and we talk. But the interview was like, you're just going to ask these questions and you're going to take notes, and like, you're going to ask follow-up questions. You're not going to comment. You're not going to add your own thoughts. Like, you are just there to listen to them and to take notes on what they're saying. And the idea behind this is that through the notes that you took after the two interviews were over, you then got into groups of four, and each person was instructed to introduce their partner to the group by sharing what inspired them the most about their partner. So in that whole process, what happened was that, one, every person had the opportunity to share, and two, every person had the opportunity to be heard, and three, every person got at least 1 minute of praise and recognition. And so the science behind that is that helps really quickly create the psychologically safe space. And then we moved into panel discussions. And then we moved into a workshop that was led by Emily Goodman of Creative Intelligence. And that was a beautiful workshop. And she helped with mindfulness. And then we had everybody do an exercise that helped them creatively identify who they are at their core. And it was just, from my vantage point, it was really beautiful. And after the event was over, which so after the middle part, which is about an hour and a half, there's then like another 45 minutes to an hour of just like free chat and like actual networking. And I think the sign of a good event is when technically the time is up, but like the entire room is still there. Mm-hmm. And the thing about naked networking is that like when people arrive and they don't leave until the end, which is, I think, really great. And so by 9 o'clock when the event was over, like there were still 30 to 40 people that were chatting and in this like really deep conversation with one another. And then of course, from a branding standpoint, to see that for the next week, women were posting about their experiences on social media. It was not just the day of or the day after, it was for a solid 7 days. Naked Networking was being tagged in post after post after post talking about their experience. That was really special. And then I was searching on the hashtag and I would see women commenting on other people's posts saying, it was so great meeting you. Like, I'm so excited to get drinks later. And to see that, oh my God, that was like amazing, because I was legitimately like, it was validated that we were creating a safe place for women to connect with each other and to build genuine relationships. So that was the end of 2019. That was just a beautiful way to end it. And so now we're moving into 2020 and we have 7 events on the calendar. So this is going to be a year of the hustle, which I'm cool with. But our first event is on January 29th and we're going out to the suburbs. So all 3 of our events in 2019 were in Philly. And what I want to do is I do want to give some opportunity for women in the suburbs to attend the events, because all of our events in 2019 were on Wednesdays at 6:30. Which if you live in the suburbs, it can be really difficult to get there on time. Mm-hmm. So I want to go to the suburbs and kind of bring it to the women that are out there. And then we have a really big event planned on April 26th that I'll be announcing as soon as this event is over in January. That is going to be an all day long event on a Sunday at the Bach Building again. And we've got some amazing, amazing surprises up our sleeve. So yeah, that's kind of the story of Naked Networking. It's obviously still evolving and I'm still working through like the vision of it, but I have a very, very, very big vision for it. And I'm very excited and passionate about fueling that vision into real life.
Yeah, no, I love it. I mean, I love the whole concept anyway with Naked Networking. You're talking about this artificial vulnerability, and I've like witnessed many times when people go through like vulnerable things, like new things together, that automatically gets you guys closer, because you're both like have the masses kind of like, well, I'm doing this. We're both in a vulnerable space. So why not like go even further and
go deep?
That? Yeah. So yeah, no, I'm really excited to see where it goes and all of that. Cause it's also a very beautiful concept as well, because I mean, a lot of women crave that authenticity and crave that safe space to just be themselves and not be judged when we've been in a society where it's kind of cutthroat, and even from a woman's standpoint. So yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And I think as we get older, it's more and more important that we do have that safe space, because eventually, like if we don't ever give ourselves the chance to remove those masks, we fall further behind them. And that's where that feeling of being lost comes from, I think. Like when you're feeling really lost in your identity, it's because you haven't given yourself the space to find who you are and embrace who you are. And so this, yeah, I have a lot of passion for what we're doing. And I really believe in the goal and the mission behind it. And I'm very passionate about the topic of it.
Yeah, no, I love it so much. Well, we could talk for hours and hours and more. We might have to get you on the podcast again sometime later, like after check in, see what's going on. So now
yeah, for sure.
The final questions, where can everyone find you?
So I'm very active on social media. I would say Instagram is probably where I'm most active. So my personal Instagram is Shelby_wildgust. And my last name is a compound word. So it's wild gust, like gust of wind. Facebook, I'm also pretty active on, although I would admit I do share more about my professional job with Vector on Facebook, but you can still friend me there too. That's cool. Just my first and last name. If you like good couple stories and like fun things about relationships, you can follow my relationship Instagram that I just created last week called Brant Family Party of Two. And Brant is B-R-A-N-D as in dog, T, and then Naked Networking. You can find on Instagram at Naked Networking Events. And we also have a Facebook group, which I'm still very much learning how to like engage people in a Facebook group. That's pretty small right now. So if you want to join, go for it. It's still evolving, but that's Naked Networking Events. It's just a group on Facebook. But yeah, that's where everyone can find me. Oh, and my website too. www.shelbywildgoss.com.
Awesome. And yes, this will all be in the show notes for you guys, so you don't need to be like scribbling, be like rewinding back. What's a book, podcast, resource that has been valuable to you that you'd share with the audience?
Ooh, great question. I've got so many, but I'll share what I'm currently obsessing with. Podcast, I love the HBR Idea Cast. That's Harvard Business Review's podcast. It's a lot more about like structured leadership, mm-hmm. but there's always nuggets that you can take from those lessons that you can apply to just like a personal experience, personal life type thing. From a book perspective, I'm reading this book right now that is life-changing. And the reason why I say life-changing is because it is a neuroscientist who is talking about like the actual areas of your brain that deal with stress and anxiety and how to activate other areas of your brain that are stronger that create a better response to stress. So this book is called Leading Well from Within. And I'm telling you, like, it's one of those books where Rob's an early sleeper. He'll be in bed by like 9:30 and I'll lay in bed and I'll read next to him. And I'll be like highlighting and scribbling and like be like, whoa, this is so awesome. And Rob's like, shh, quiet. And I'm like, no, babe, like, listen to this. Like, it's so good. So that's a really, really good book.
Awesome. Well, that's exciting. You know, it's really good when you're just having all of these ideas pop up from it.
Yeah, for sure.
What is has been your bravest moment?
From a pure adrenaline standpoint, going skydiving, but I would say doing my TED Talk for sure. Mm-hmm. I was scared shitless. But I did it. Made it happen. Mm-hmm.
Those are two very brave moments in their own right.
Yeah.
I have yet to do
skydiving one for sure. Oh my God, it's amazing.
And then the final question, what is your definition of brave?
My definition of brave is the ability to look at your fears and not allow them to hold you back and taking action no matter what. I think I would say that. Yeah.
Okay. It's a beautiful definition. Well, Shelby,
thank you.
Shelby, thank you for coming on. I was so happy to have you on.
Thank you so much, Lo. It's been awesome just to chat with you, and, thank you for creating this podcast and inspiring them to talk about, you know, their own journeys of being brave. I really enjoyed just being able to chat with you.
We'll have to do it again. Serious on that one.
Oh yeah, for sure. For sure. I'd be happy to.
Okay, guys, thank you so much for listening to this episode. Remember, Shelby is hosting her first full day event for Naked Networking. It's the Free to Be Summit, and it is April 26th. So go get your tickets. The link is in the show notes, and I hope to see you guys there. Hey everyone, thank you so much for listening to this episode of Built Brave. If you love this episode, heck, if you like this episode, please head on over, give it a rate, review, subscribe, like, shout it out on your social media with your major takeaways and what you loved about the episode. And as always, tag me in that at Lo Wentworth, because I love hearing what you guys got out of the episodes. And until next time, remember, you've always been brave.